ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend in Fuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
Show's namesake BJ Shea. He's here.
I am present.
Yeah, and running the boards is Joey Deez. Yeah, it's Wednesday. So we will be doing some comic book talk. Woo. Definitely BJ's comic book recommendations and his reviews. We'll also be talking about comic book TV shows with the Umbrella Academy and Miss Marvel. And we'll get to the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more.
More.
Or just search BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app.
Yes. So many ways to get a hold of us. And, I mean, hit us up on that social media and send us a message. Give us some recommendations on the things that you like, things that you've been geeking out about, because we do cover a lot of stuff, but we can't cover everything. And so if there's something that we might have missed, send us an email, bjgeeknation@gmail.com. Or if you've got maybe a review about something that we've talked about and you want to get your opinion out there, we'd love to hear it. Just don't be a jerk about it because, I mean, it's the internet and it is mostly anonymous. But at the same point, you know, we have feelings.
Oh, do you?
All right, then.
Maybe a little bit.
Usually feelings of anger.
Yeah. Usually rage, especially when I'm playing video games, so don't worry about that. Let's get into it since it is comic book day and get some comic book talk with Mr. BJ Shea.
Hey! Well,
so I know that you've been reading, usually it's Spider-Man and Fantastic Four.
Yes, but I needed something to replace my Oblivion song, which is from Robert Kirkman.
Yeah.
Walking Dead, Invincible, that guy. And so I have not read it yet. I did not do my homework.
Oh, no.
I downloaded it and forgot that I had it. So I can tell you I'm about to read Firepower, which is a Chris Samnee, Robert Kirkman production. And it looks like a guy who has the power of fire. I will say that. And that's all I know, but it's relatively new. I think it might be his newest.
Firepower?
Yeah, and it's had a couple of volumes already, so I'm way behind. But if any of the Geek Nationals want to tell me, hey, what do you think? You know, what do you think of Firepower? That's my thing.
It's so interesting. I just love the fact that it's like you've got certain writers that if they've got something out there that you've seen, you're like, I'm in for it. And with Kirkman, it's one of those.
Yeah, I want, you know, definitely. I didn't know he had something new, and I said, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to do it.
Nice, right on, yeah.
Yeah, so there's that.
Well, right now, Firepower has 18 issues out.
Okay.
So you've got a little bit there, but a little bit of reading there.
I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get it done. I like how they release in volumes, so that's
the one benefit. Yeah, yeah.
It's the one benefit of being behind.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man, well, we just wrapped up the story arc, the first story arc of the new volume.
Oh.
I don't understand why they do this, but we went back to Spider-Man number one. Again.
Well, you can't do that because aren't they just going to be like, well, this is Spider-Man 1500, but it's going to be like Spider-Man like 12 or something.
Oh, you mean
like
next issue, which is actually Spider-Man number 6 or Spider-Man number 900.
See, you can't do that. It's 6, 900? That doesn't make...
I know. I know. That's the problem. You know, I mean,
I don't understand the numbering.
You and I are old.
I know.
That's the problem. I wish.
And maybe numbering doesn't even matter at this point in time. I guess in the digital age, you don't necessarily have to. I mean, even if you get the volumes, you can look up and see exactly what it is online. And so maybe that's how
it gets
works.
A little confusing, though, because if I put in like, you know, because I order my books from Amazon. And so you can pre-order like multiple issues.
Yeah.
I don't want to subscribe. I feel like I don't want you on the hook for me to subscribe, but I will pre-order a bunch of issues. And so I'll put in like Spider-Man number 7. And if number 7 is not ready for pre-order, it'll show me Spider-Man number 7 maybe from like 100 years ago.
Oh, no.
Or 100. Or how many Spider-Man number 7s have there been that are different?
That's fun. Yeah, you can find out how many there have been.
Yeah, and I do, and I almost order them going, wait a minute, that does not look... Oh.
Well, if you can't decipher all that, maybe just go to your local comic book store. Shout out to Ethan down at Destiny City Comics. Usually they keep it all in the up and up. If it's super confusing, you can't figure it out, talk to your local comic dealer.
This is where the old guy goes, I don't understand what's so tough. 900 comes after 899. Why do you have to turn 899 into number 5? Because there already was a Spider-Man number 5 multiple times, actually. I mean, and I'm talking like the Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not talking about like a different book. Like, there's been so many different volumes of the Amazing Spider-Man with multiple number 5 issues of each. Like, which number 5 are we talking here? Is it the Dan Slott number 5? Is it the Zeb Wells number 5? Which one are we talking? So is it Nick Spencer's number five?
I guess, yeah, you just have to go with, like, the writer at that point in time. And then, yeah, maybe you'll be able to figure it out.
This was, I will say the wrap-up was good. As Spider-Man, you know, it's funny. He's kind of like halfway between a street hero, you know, and a flying hero, you know, because he really doesn't fly, but he also isn't limited to the streets. And so he was involved in a big gang war and was manipulated, and it looked like Tombstone was really...
That's right, you were talking about Tombstone.
Yeah, and it looked like Tombstone was going to be a jerk. Turns out he wasn't going to be a jerk. It was a big flipperoo.
Ooh!
And which made sense, because Tombstone did some things that I thought were, this is odd, if you really like want to teach a lesson to Spider-Man, you'd kill him, wouldn't you?
What's the fun in that?
Especially if you can't monologue.
Yeah. That's true. So, turns out I was wrong. He wanted a monologue, and turns out he didn't want to kill Joe Robinson's kid, Robbie, because he was, and Randy, I should say, because he was marrying his daughter, who was also the Blue Beatles or the Paul McCartney Beatle.
Yeah, Blue Beatle something else.
She's some Beatle. I know she's a Beetle somebody.
Okay.
And she's a criminal with wings.
All right.
And
an insect name because, I mean, Spider-Man.
Of course. So it all ended up for the good. Peter did some outsmarting, but he and MJ are no more. And I don't know. It looks like MJ has a kid. I'm a little confused. Someone's going to have to help me with this because it's a little redheaded kid that MJ's hanging out with. And I don't know who it is. And it could, like, did I miss an issue? Am I crazy? So if any Geek Nationals know what the heck's going on, but they're not an item anymore. They split up. Again, poor Peter. So Black Cat's trying to worm her way in there, like, hey, Pete, what do you say? Maybe, you and MJ aren't a thing. Maybe you and I can go do what we got to do.
Wow.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. But issue number 900 is the next issue coming out.
Jeez.
So I imagine it's going to be a big one. It looks like they have the Sinister Six and extras that are going to be on the cover that I saw they promoted for the next issue. So that's a big one, buddy.
And now a big thing I just found out and read about, that Dan Slott will be ending his run on Fantastic Four this August.
Oh, I wondered.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah. So it looks like Fantastic Four number 46 will mark the final stop of a 4-year odyssey for Dan Slott. Got this from Marvel.com itself.
Oh.
And so, yeah. Wow.
Makes sense, because it's a pretty epic ending we're going to get to with Fantastic Four, with the big war between them and the people that stole technology from the Watchers and wanted to ruin the whole world. And it's a pretty epic storyline. So, yeah, 46 makes sense. I think that is the next issue to come out, which should wrap everything up.
Yeah.
Do we know what Dan's going to do? Do they say? What's he going to do? Because I might read I like to read books from people, so I'll go for wherever he goes.
It's not saying anything else. It just looks like, just the fact that it'll be finishing up at the end of the month with number 46. He was just happy to have Fantastic Four off of his bucket list. But he's not saying anything necessarily yet. So once we get some more news about that, we'll find out, because I just stated with Kirkman, I know that you do love following Dan Slott.
I do.
As he does stuff.
Yeah, I do. And, wonderful. at least I'm hoping that Dan Slott, when he leaves, that the FF will stay around. I get a little afraid.
Well, I mean, the last time they went off to go build galaxies and stuff and universes or whatever the hell they do.
Didn't like that they weren't around I felt like it was 3 or 4 years they weren't around.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Hopefully the FF will continue. And I'll read it. I always read the FF, but now I got to keep an eye on Dan Slott and see what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Saga, of course, you know, the Brian K. Vaughan. Have you been reading much of that, Rev, since it came back?
I finished volume one. I still have volume two I haven't gotten to, so I haven't gotten to the new ones yet.
Yeah, Hazel's kind of preteen almost.
No,
almost.
Oh, my God.
Like,
volume one was her being an infant.
Yeah.
So at this point in time, the second volume starts off with her at toddler age.
Mm-hmm. And she's telling the story.
Yeah.
What we don't know, how old is this narrator? You know, we've had a narrator since, like you said, since book one, is she's basically narrating her life.
Mm-hmm.
And this latest issue, which, by the way, Brian K. Vaughan calls issue 60, is a season finale.
Oh.
Meaning, I think he's probably going to take another break, but Saga is, he said, even though this may be a season finale of Saga, but the most emotional series in comics is only getting started.
Okay.
And it is, I mean, it really is an amazing story as Hazel's family is changing, and it is definitely an ever-changing book. When you realize where it was, it reminds me of The Walking Dead. When you realize where it was when it started as to where it is now.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Saga is making me feel like. I don't know if they ever can do a show about this. Maybe they can, because it would be amazing to see on a screen.
I feel like, yeah, the production value, it means it would have to be animated.
Yeah.
And I mean, they've done it with like Invincible, and like you can do a lot more and don't have to really worry about like a VX budget on that.
But it is an amazing story, or they could probably adjust some things a little bit, like, you know, maybe they can make them a little bit more humanoid and less crazy looking.
I don't know. I kind of like their weird, like, animalistic looks.
It is true. I mean, it's going to be a lot of...
I just loved how absolutely out there.
It's badass crazy.
That was one thing I would love to ask Brian K. Vaughan, is be like, you know, did you make it so it would be as hard as possible to turn into a TV show?
Good question. or would they use puppets? Would they go to Jim Henson and go, let's just try to do that?
Oh, dude, if they did a Muppet, I would be 100%. I'd back that Kickstarter.
And they could. They very much could, because you saw what they did with a show like Farscape. Because there's a lot of Muppet-like characters that could be done.
Absolutely.
I don't know if Joey Deez knows this, but in the Gorn episode of Strange New Worlds, that was not all CGI. All those little Gorn guys running around were puppets.
Oh.
Yeah, they were practical. They used some CGI to sort of make them look
clean them up a little bit.
But they were real puppets on them being used by puppeteers.
I will always advocate to have puppets on any show. I think they're fantastic.
Yeah, so I think more and more they want to go back to practical, because I think they feel like, hey, it really looks realer if it really feels like that thing is on someone's body. The actors get a better response. So we'll see. But Saga is still a great story. If you haven't read it, Brian K. Vaughan, the guy that did Why the Last Man, please don't judge him by the TV show.
I was coming under the realization that like FX has not been really doing anything great recently with any Marvel-type products.
Oh, yeah, any sort of comic book-type products, they were kind of like not doing fantastic.
Legion was probably the only one that was all right. Yeah. Even then, it got kind of weird.
Well, and that was like, intentionally just like way out there, but I hated Cloak & Dagger. Like, I didn't finish Cloak & Dagger.
I mean, I got out of it. It was one of those, I want a redemption arc for that and Runaways.
Yeah, and Hellstrom?
Well,
Hellstrom was, we don't need it.
and Black Bolt got a redemption arc for about 20 seconds.
And
almost like he parodied what the whole show was, you know, the Inhumans. And I almost feel like, did Ryan Reynolds write that particular scene just because they consulted him for how to, you know?
I
wanted to tell you about this, and I brought
madness
it up.
Madness of mad.
Yeah, if you go, it's just so great to see when people do alternate, like how alternate endings could have happened for movies and shows and stuff. A lot of stuff on the internet about that. so that's that comic, and that's what's pretty much going on.
Nice.
Is the Spider-Man is Spider-Man and doing what he's doing, you know? And Saga is Hazel is all grown up to the point where I'll just tell you that somebody has professed their love for Hazel.
Aw, adorable.
You know, it's a teenage thing, but you're like, that's when I realized this kid's grown up a little bit.
And you've watched her grow up ever since the beginning.
It's true. It's so true.
The very beginning.
It's brilliant, though. I really, really love Saga a lot by Brian K. Vaughan.
One of Vicky's favorite comic books, and I'll eventually get you back, Volume 3.
Hmm.
The Umbrella Academy did finish up Season 3 on Netflix, and we haven't had a chance to, you know, break down. We've talked about, you know, our first impressions about it and stuff like that, but we haven't been able to break down, like, what went down for the ending of it. And, like, this whole, like, these last couple of episodes have been talking about season finales and that whelming attitude, at least from me. And this was another one where it ended, and I was like, huh.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this one was more along the lines of like,
I need more.
Exactly. I wanted it immediately, and I don't even know if they've been renewed for season 4. And there's not a volume 4 of the comic book, right?
No.
So they'll be going off into their own whatever at this point in time. And
I feel like Gerard Way, who wrote the comics, you know, lead singer of My Chemical Romance, has been very involved with the show. At least that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
So I like to think that it would be with his direction.
I did read an article, actually. Steve Blackman has said that he has got plans for a season 4. He said, I have plans. I ended that way, fully expecting to go into a season 4 because I got stuff.
So it wasn't
a random ending. So hopefully he gets a season 4, but Steve Blackman said, this is part of my plan. Hopefully it comes to fruition.
It really kind of, it was like one of those things where it was like, okay, cool. you're not making, like, it's the whole premise of the show is just the fact that we've got to stop this cataclysmic event from happening. Each time it kind of gets bigger and bigger as the seasons go on, but they just move it to another cataclysm.
Yes.
And this one is like that again. And it's just, it's... Joe,
it's just them. It's them always causing trouble.
It's the time travel thing, yeah. And a lot of these things are wearing on me because there's certain shows that I've been screwed on. Like I just remember American Gods and how much I love that show, but it ended on a major downer and then got canceled.
Cliffhanger. Yeah. And unfortunately, that show. American Gods was so great in the first season, and for all the crap it went through, it continuously was still good.
Yeah.
From showrunners changing every season to
actors just bailing.
Yeah.
Either bailing because the showrunner bailed or because they did bad things and they deserve to not be in the show kind of a thing. It's like, I wish they could have a do-over with like the OG people.
Yeah. And my big worry about going back to this with Umbrella Academy is that it's a Netflix property. And Netflix, other than like Stranger Things, which was just like its own entity, usually after like two or three seasons, they dump them. They did it with Santa Clarita Diet, which could have definitely done another season. They've done it with some other shows
Lost
as well.
Space only had three seasons.
Right? It's like a bunch of these where you're just like, well, don't screw me, please.
To be fair. Lost in Space, they kind of had to because the kids were, you know, coming up onto retirement age. Like, seriously, they were itty bitty and then they were just huge.
I don't mind. I want to see these kids. What happens when Will's driving the Jupiter 2? What's he doing?
Right?
Yeah, when Don's in a wheelchair. I want to know.
So, like, yeah. So going through the whole thing, like, the Umbrella Academy through every season has been a mess. And it always has been. And it's shown how much these characters are a mess, how much they're screwing everything up. I didn't realize or really expect it to get so obliterated. I don't know.
There's
like,
that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it was just how much they screwed up this alt timeline that they ended up getting into and then bumping into a whole new one. Like, there are a lot of unexplained things.
But
like,
you know who's responsible. You guys remember who this is the theme of Umbrella Academy. Who's responsible for every cataclysm?
Victor them?
Or
Vanya.
Is it
Vanya?
Victor Vanya. Yeah,
you forget that Victor let Pockets live.
Yeah.
And he's the reason. And that's what I loved. I'm like, man, please make it be Victor. Please make it be. And then they finally did connect it. Lester Pockets, whatever the hell the other guy's name was. He basically, because of what his crazy power, killed the parents. So those kids weren't born, which we created the Kubla Blitz or the Kubla Fly, whatever.
Kubla Blitz.
Lester Pocket, yeah.
Yeah, so that was Victor again. And I'm like, I love this show because it wasn't as obvious this time that it was Victor, Vanya.
I was trying to figure out who the old dude was as we were going along. So it made a little bit more sense when that all went down.
Yeah.
And yes, and it always is. And
so it really was Victor. And I'm like, all right, yes, Umbrella Academy, you did it again. It made Victor the bad guy.
And it's just like the machinations of Greaves and just like getting everything out there. And like, it's all been leading to the next season at this point in time because his whole reasoning was shown in the last episode. And just kind of alluded to. And that was the thing that was super frustrating. Like, it's just like, okay, so now we're going to get a revelation? Well, I don't like that.
Yes and no. Like, one of the things, like, with the whole wife thing, we've seen pieces of this wife before in previous episodes.
Yeah, we have.
In, like, the first season, there was, like, a little mini, like, hey, him coming, creating a umbrella company or whatever to the, what it looked like, the States.
Don't forget, she was on the moon.
And then we found her in this last season. We also, there's a moment where we saw, what's his face, Luther not being able to go past the perimeter.
Yeah.
And that's where she was being held. He was actually sent there to protect her.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, I see those things now, like, and I see that part. I forgot about the previous, and I understand, like Grace was made in, like, like an homage or whatever for her, but it's like, it didn't, like all of these things are happening, and it didn't pay it off for me.
Now we know why he took his life in the first season. I'm telling you, this was Hargreaves' long game.
Yeah.
Because he knows about number five, knows about time travel, knows that number five was gone.
Yeah.
And he took his own life at a very interesting time when number five is coming back, all to lead them to Hotel Oblivion.
And the one thing that has really made it worthwhile for me is the actors, the characters, mm-hmm. like all of that, like the story. The story aside, like, I've been really, really happy with all of their interactions. And I know some people are, like, mad about different things, like how some of the characters acted. But I felt like it's worked the way it has because they are broken entities. And so having them deal with all this stuff, I really liked all of that. And so I'm able to kind of forgive that because I want to see how they're going to deal with whatever the hell is being thrown at them.
Yeah, I wonder how long the series will go. I wonder if we'll get a season four.
I mean, I hope.
Because, I don't know, for me personally, I'm only three episodes into the new season, but I'm kind of like,
sorry.
No, I don't mind it being spoiled. It's really not a show for me. I watch it, you know, it's not bad or anything, but there's really not a plot. Which I find hilarious.
And that's the thing. It's like, yeah, it's like, well, the plot is whatever doomsday they're dealing with, but it's never about that.
Yeah.
Like, it's a thing that's happening, and then they're like, oh, yeah, we got to still deal with that while we're dealing with our family stuff.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know exactly how to even describe it. It's kind of like if it was like a Friends show, except they have superpowers, where it's kind of like Fair. They're just monotonously yeah. going through their day. And then they have to do something. And you know what's going to get done because the show is not just going to end, right?
Right.
But then you're kind of like, what was the point of the season? Well, the point of the season was for them to do this in their family or do this in their family. And it's like, okay.
That being said, some of the segments are fantastic. The very first fight scene, Footloose fight.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Like,
yeah.
I texted Vicky immediately because she had watched a bunch of it before I got to it. And it's like, of course it starts off with a Footloose dance-off.
Yeah, that was great.
It was great how they did it, too.
Yeah.
But I was just like, are they really doing this? And then they tie it back into it just being like the hallucination
Which
from the
really,
spittle venom. But I was like, wow.
How about, though, that was in Diego's
that
fantasy?
That was Diego's one, yeah.
Yeah, you're just like, that's really awesome that Diego mm-hmm. has this as a fantasy.
Yeah.
He'd rather have a dance-off than a fight. The guy who's Mr. Tough Guy.
Like, I who's always wanting to fight.
Yeah.
And one of the things that has kind of been my sort of kind of burnout moment, like Joe has with time travel, is the generational trauma sort of thing, where it's like, everybody's bad guy is their parents. And so I'm kind of tired with that because it is just permeating through everything right now.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I thought they did a nice reverse on that because the kids were the bad guys with the Sparrow Academy.
There was like a sense of elder abuse.
Yeah, because he treated them well.
Well,
at least when he was medicated.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, he was.
I think beforehand, because
But Pogo medicated him because he was going to be a monster.
That's a good point.
And that
point.
Was the thing, is like they yeah. had to elder abuse him or else he was going to abuse them.
It is interesting because they also turned out to be pretty bad people.
They were not good.
I mean, that's the one thing you notice with the Umbrella Academy. Yeah, they're a mess, but they're a mess within themselves, but they're good-hearted. You know, outside of Gravity Girl, you know, you could argue that they were all pieces of...
Yeah,
yeah. You could argue that they were all really pieces of crap, though Krogal, I think, was somebody who was just beat down, but actually did have a bit of a heart.
Faye.
And you could see that actually Ben was a good dude, always trying to help out Klaus best he could. But Ben, in this situation, became an a-hole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, unchecked, just turned into just a little
And they
turd.
Had a better life. You saw how together everything was, so you know that Hargreaves treated them better, at least in his own brain, realized the way I raised these other idiots didn't work, so I need to do it differently. And I feel like he was a better father to them than he was to the Umbrellas.
Doesn't mean he wasn't a monster.
Yeah, and well, that was the thing that was really shown when Pogo left, because it was breaking down with the Kung Fu scene, where it was like he was going to go into that relentless mode. Not the same abuse that was in the Umbrella Academy, kind of like what we were talking about on the last Geek Sheet, where it was just like, yeah, he's a afraid of the powers of the Umbrella Academy.
Well,
and with the Sparrow Academy, he was able to harness them, and he was really pushing them harder.
He had nobody that could destroy the world.
Yeah,
that was the thing.
Absolutely.
And which we talked about, I think, was the reason why he was so fearful in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But is he a bad guy or is he an alien? And again, I watch Resident Alien. So,
good point.
You know, they don't have the emotions we have. You know, and they say with some people, who, I don't know if it's sociopathic behavior, where they don't have the ability to feel what we feel. Mm-hmm. They don't believe things are wrong. They just go, I'm doing A, B, and C.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, C's very bad. really? It feels just like A and B. And it's like, no, C is very, very bad. They just don't. And so does that make Hargraves a bad guy? Because he was just doing what he was doing to get what he wanted done. I don't think he actually had any malice towards those guys. I think he was just indifferent.
And we need to really see what happens. Like, we need another season because we need to see what leads it to it. We know why he was doing it.
Yeah.
But what led it to that and what his plan is now, because apparently he owns the world.
Well, two things happened. His wife is back and he owns the world.
Yeah.
What did he want and why was the wife important? Is she an alien or is she a human he fell in love with?
Exactly. These are like a but they left so many questions that if they don't make another series because Netflix is a monster in their own right and they won't and they take it away from me. I need to get at least like a TLDR or something like that.
I have a feeling that even like they kind of did with Sense8, at the very least we'll get some sort of wrap up.
Yeah.
Even if it's like a mini movie kind of a thing, but I feel with all the attention the season got, I feel like I'm very hopeful that
That's why I'm binging it again. I feel like, you know, as a person, how do I get my vote cast?
Yeah.
Let me watch those other seasons again.
I think that the reason why we're getting another Harley Quinn season, which, by the way, the trailer's out. If you haven't seen it yet, it's on our page.
All right. I'm excited for that.
You know, it was because I kept watching Harley Quinn over and over and over again. And then eventually they did say that we were getting another season.
Thank you, Vicky.
I like to think that was me.
I believe it was Vicky because Vicky has watched Harley Quinn every
time. So if you want to see another season of Umbrella Academy, binge it again and again and again.
And what do we think? So, I mean, I don't know. I asked Joey Deez this question.
Uh-oh.
I did. I said, Joey, is there a show that's currently out that you like?
Oh.
Because every time I talk to him, I go, hey, I'm why are we? And he's like, nah, So
it's like the life commercials.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
He doesn't like anything.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, what do we think of this season of Umbrella Academy?
I'd give it an 8.
Even where you are in it, Joe. I know you haven't finished it, but you know where you are in it. You give it an 8, nice.
Yeah, I would give it an 8, yeah.
Like 5, middle of the ground.
All right, Vicky, where you are, what do you give it?
I think about an 8, too. Mostly because I really love the first season, and I like the second season as well. But because I've seen the first season probably 100 times, I've seen the second season a little bit less. There's always a little bit more love for that first season. But I think once I start watching this over and over again, I'm going to love it even more.
As many problems as it had, like writing-wise, I felt, it was still really good.
I had no issue watching it.
Fun. I was happy to watch it every single time, no matter what happened. A lot of the times it's just like, okay, well, we already know, like, this is absolutely ridiculous. We've seen that in the first two seasons. I'm okay with wherever they go, however they do it. I just want to see how these characters interact.
And I don't know where Joey is. He probably doesn't care. And Vicky, you finished it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think the wonderful, beautiful thing, and I don't remember from the comic books I was telling Vicky, I go, I can't remember this is true, but how about Robert Sheehan turns out to be basically the same character he was with his power as he was
so
in Misfits.
That's so Misfits.
He's a little bit more loving and less of a jerk.
But I mean,
that is so funny. I forgot about
that. He ends up having the same damn power.
That's pretty solid. And Robert Sheehan, I mean, out of all the characters and all the actors on it, he is far and away my favorite person.
Well, like he and number 5. Gallagher.
Yeah,
are so
you know
tough
what?
For me.
Yeah,
especially
yeah.
their
those
dynamic.
Two. Yeah. Yeah. Like yeah. like Aidan Gallagher, so many times I have forgotten that he's a teenager. Yeah. Or maybe in his lower 20s, but it was like he's still young. Like this dude there's at no point did I think of him as a teenager.
Yep. Yeah.
Like there was no point. And so just the fact he was a short adult. And so it was just amazing. Like the actors, like all of them are great, but far and above everyone else.
So there's another guy you wonder, did he get an Emmy nod either? Because we talked about Sadie Sink
not getting an
Emmy nod. Did Aiden get one? Because again, I mean, he's playing an adult for the entire 3 seasons that he's been on that, and I'm wondering if he's getting, I mean, if he gets recognized for that, because he's so good. Like you said, Reb, you forget he's a kid.
Yeah, no, it doesn't look like there's anything at this point.
It's kinda
hard. He deserves one, but
it's hard to find it because the gal who plays Rumor, or Allison, her name is Emmy. So I'm having a hard time finding any information because, hey, here's Emmy, Umbrella Academy.
Oh, yeah,
oops.
You're right.
Oops.
Sorry.
Yeah, so, we'll have to do a little bit of research, but they absolutely deserve it, but I don't know if they actually did or anything like that.
Yeah, it's too bad.
But you were talking about series or shows that that you found that you really liked, and Vicky, now it's time for you to leave this room because we don't want to spoil Ms. Marvel for you.
Okay.
Oh, boy, and so many people are behind the times. Well, then again, I don't have much time doing these days.
Yeah.
And I have.
Yes, and so
Vicky has a life, I don't.
I had to make sure and get to the finale of this one because I have really loved this show. And part of it is, there's a couple of parts about this. As much as I've talked about generational trauma, this show does not have it.
Well, it does. Kamala, actually, it does. Really? You don't see that it is?
It did, but it came to a good resolution for me. Like, the fact that the family is there not because they're abusive. Yes, Kamala Khan's mother was very, you know, like didn't let, you know, both parents didn't let her go and do things and was very kind of, like, controlling on that.
A lot of shame in that family because of Kamala's great-grandmother.
Yes, but it was about love. And it was that I didn't want to lose you, and I didn't want to, you know, and so the fact that they came together and they were so welcoming to, you know, other people outside of, you know, outside of their religion, outside of their ethnicity, outside of everything when they're in America, like, you know, with Bruno, with her older brother's wife, like all of these things. It's like, no, if you want to come into our circle, we will gladly bring you in. We're not pushing people away. We're trying to bring you in a little bit too, maybe a little too tight, and you had to deal with that. But it was one of those where it ended with positivity. So it was really something that really made me feel good. And it was one of those shows where I was very happy. Every time I watched it, it was my eye bleach for shows like The Boys, because of how brutal and how graphic that show was, that I could watch something that was overly positive. Mm. And I feel like the actress who played Kamala Khan, I don't have her name here, but...
Oh, that's Iman Vellani.
Yes, she was so good, so charismatic in this show. And after episode 5, where we got the clandestines getting, nuked or something like that? Maybe
zip-ified.
They went back home?
They
I don't know what happened.
I don't think they're home. They got statuefied.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really know what was going to happen there.
They got crumbled up is what they did.
And I had to look up, and the showrunner was like, yeah, unfortunately, since it's a 6-episode, you know, 6-hour series, they didn't have a chance to really dwell or delve into that whole dynamic, since it was really about Kamala Khan's story.
Yeah.
And so there was a little bit missing there, but by and large, being able to see what happened with episode 6, it came to a very exciting conclusion, very Goonies-esque when it got down to it, but everybody was coming together, and that was the cool part. Everyone was supporting her, in dealing with having to deal with, you know, the Department of Damage Control and the one rogue agent, because even Damage Control wasn't even about, you know, stopping all of this stuff. Like, it was a really interesting, positive show, and I really liked how it went.
Yeah, I think Iman Vellani and the cast, really. I mean,
the whole cast, yeah.
They really did such a great job. My favorite, as I said before, my favorite Halloween outfit is going to be what Yusuf wore.
The Hulk.
I think that's her dad, yeah.
Yeah,
so, Dad Hulk.
Yeah.
You know, with the Pakistani Dad Hulk shirt. I'm like, I want that. That's going to be my new. I can cosplay that. I can pull that off.
And it was like one of these things also where it was fun to be able to, and fun's kind of a weird word at this, but just to learn about history that I was not aware of. I didn't know about the partition.
Yeah.
I didn't know exactly how Pakistan was broken off from India. So it was able to kind of be able to see all that and understand a little bit about the world that I didn't know about. And so being able to learn about all of that, being able to see Kamala go back in time, sorry, Joe, and deal with that, it was a good way for that to all make sense. It makes sense in the show. Joe's rolling his eyes, and I understand with that. But it was like it was just able to bring it out. There wasn't even the baddies weren't necessarily necessary or even the huge overarching theme. It was about her coming into her powers, very street level, very Spider-Man-esque. And I liked it a
lot.
Well,
and the powers of a djinn, I mean, you're opening up a lot of amazing doors with that lore that can be explored if they want to do a season 2.
That was something interesting I read too, because they were considered as djinn, but they were other dimensional entities.
Exactly.
So it'll be kind of interesting to see where they go with that. But I mean, even at that point, it's not a djinn thing, because the line with Bruno said at the end, and that was the one thing. And that's the one thing I really kind of hope that people will watch it as the show and not just latch on to the last, 5 minutes of the show, which brought out some huge, massive revelations that there is a quote unquote mutation in her genes,
right,
which is why her family doesn't have the powers that she does. And so to that aspect, and then what we saw in the mid-credit scene as well.
Yes. Yes.
And in the comic books, Kamala Khan, when she first learns her powers, she makes herself look like Captain Marvel. So a lot of people assume that, oh, she bamfed herself as Captain Marvel. No, she traded places with Captain Marvel at the end. So it is Captain Marvel that ends up in Kamala Khan's closet, seeing all of this fan, like, just fandom for her. And she's like, oh, no. And then runs off. Like, those are going to be the two things that are big, that apparently mutants are in.
Yeah.
Like, mutants have been around and in some sort of aspect. So that's kind of how.
I forgot about how big that was with the MCU. You're right. Oh, I totally missed that.
This is how mutants are coming into the MCU. This is the biggest revelation that comes for, you know, further reaching stuff, which again is another problem with, like, if you look at any Marvel property at this point. We're in phase four right now. We're not going to get a big thing until phase six. So each of these are leading up to that. I don't know if people are going to have the patience to wait 10 years for another big event.
Probably not.
But that's what they're going for. And Kevin Feige has his plans.
Most people don't. I'm going to be an old man by then. I don't know, Kevin.
Well, that's you're going to have to deal with that, apparently.
Yeah, that's, I mean, geez. Really? I'm going to be an old man? I hope I'm around.
Yeah. And, well, I hope you'll be around, too.
I know, but that's asking a lot on me.
You got to stick around just so you can finish the next one, because I'm pretty sure that they're going to end, you know, get to phase six with Secret Wars. Like, that's going to be the big one, because it's leading towards that.
Oh, man.
And so we're definitely going to be getting mutants in the future. We don't know how, if it's going to be anything coming up, but.
Here's the question. Will Joe like any of it? Joey D's.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if necessarily you'll be down for Ms. Marvel. But,
no, I haven't purposely stayed away because it's like not my lane.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that. But at the same point, like, it doesn't seem as necessary that I felt that shows like WandaVision or Loki, which have big implications, at least at this point in time. Hawkeye was a little less in that sort of aspect, so I kind of felt that this is more along the lines of that. And you get into that street level stuff. They're setting up like Young Avengers and things like that, and whether they call them that or not, we have no idea. But these are the characters that are in that aspect, so it'll be interesting to see where we get from that, and leading into, you know, 5 and 6 and stuff like that. But is it necessary viewing? No. Is it nice eye bleach? Absolutely. Like, it's one of those ones where I felt great watching it. And I know, BJ, you and I had talked where you were sad after episode 5 that you weren't going to see Ms. Marvel in her full costume.
Oh, I was so happy.
And then I was like, BJ, you just need to wait till the last episode. They're going to do it. And it came through.
And actually, the way they did it was really awesome.
And that was the cool part, too. And again, it goes back into the family part. Like, positive family. Like, even at the end, everyone, like, the whole family knows that she's, you know, Ms. Marvel, but they're mostly okay with it. She's still got to do her homework, but they're still mostly okay what's going to go down.
And it's been it was a while, but she was treated pretty badly by mom, and mom basically dismissed all of the stuff and the gossip with the aunties about her great-grandmother.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you talk about generational trauma, they did resolve it nicely, but it really took them going back home, sorting it out, visiting the grandmother, and then really going, hey, here's the truth, which is, that's what's good about generational trauma stories. Can we get to the truth and not the rumor, the gossip, and whatever? That was the underlying factor that they, of course, you know, basically weaved the superpower connection into. But that I really liked. And so when you said you liked the resolution of this generational trauma there's generational trauma and it doesn't get resolved in a nice way, I liked how they did it, because it's all about the truth. And the truth was that, no, she wasn't a bad person at all. Your great-grandmother actually saved the world by doing what she did, even though she's basically considered the biggest piece of crap within the culture.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I thought, this was a good message.
Yeah. And so by and large, really loved it. I feel that this is one of those ones that if you've got kids, It's definitely worthwhile for the kids. I mean, a little bit, you know, action-y, violent-y, so we'll watch it beforehand.
Yeah,
I'm not a parent, so
not too bad.
Yeah. But I really did love it. Now we got to get to
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
All right, Vicky, it's Wednesday. I don't know what that means, other than Joe usually says something.
Yeah, there we go.
I mean, we did just talk about the Umbrella Academy, but I got more Umbrella Academy because it's one of my faves.
Okay, have you confirmed that they're coming back for season 4?
No.
Okay, fine.
But I did find interesting fan theories about the Umbrella Academy that, you know, once you read them, you can't stop thinking about them.
Uh-oh.
So one of them, I think we actually talked about this fan theory a while back for in last season. But the too long didn't read is the Diego subconsciously uses his power to redirect bullets away from himself and his siblings. Because
mm-hmm.
you only think of him as really just the knife-throwing guy.
Yeah.
Like, he has perfect aim, but it's not so much that. He's just able to, like, direct objects. And we saw that at the end of season two, when all those bullets come, he was able to, like, stop them and move them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all the examples of blatant, terrible marksmanship by villains in the Umbrella Academy are actually Diego subconsciously using the application of his powers he discovers in season two to redirect bullets away from himself and his siblings.
And as we've seen a lot of these characters, and I haven't gone back and watched the old stuff yet, but you know, the older seasons, but everybody is getting upgrades to their powers.
Yes.
As it's been going around, and so to some epic reasonings. But just the fact that would be happening subconsciously, and then now he's able to tap into it at the end mm-hmm. of season two. That makes a lot of sense.
And the fact, like, maybe that's something to do in Star Wars too. Maybe stormtroopers have impeccable aim, but, you know, the Force.
The Force is just like, not today.
Subconsciously using the Force.
I mean, it's like, how the hell do you get through, like, Stormtrooper Academy having that bad of shooting?
Yes.
Or aim, or like any of that.
Well, I do remember that Hargreaves once said to Klaus, you are not living up to your potential.
Uh-huh.
And I think that could be said for all the children.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but absolutely.
That leads us into the next one. So we saw in season three, obviously, when Reginald is hanging out with Klaus. So original timeline Klaus and current timeline Reginald.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They were talking about how old Reginald, I guess, the one that died.
Mm-hmm.
Failed to nurture his children's gifts, instead taught them to feel powerless. Whether the sentiment was genuine or not, the observation is accurate. So the original timeline Reginald's parenting methods were so counterproductive to raising powerful, well-adjusted children, it was willful. He did that on purpose. So this person believes that the original timeline Reginald conditioned Allison, specifically, to believe that she needed to say, I heard a rumor, in childhood to keep her down. And mm-hmm. it's been presented as a power honing device, but these are the conditions in which she did, she didn't really need to say it. We found out with the whole Harlan Victor training, she didn't have to say, I heard a rumor.
It reminds me a lot of Thor and being like when he was talking with his mother, and it was I think it was in one of the Avengers, like maybe Infinity War, Endgame, when it was just like, you don't need the hammer. The hammer is not the thing. It's just, it's within you all along.
Right.
Like that sort of thing.
And it makes sense because he did not have a victor in the alternative timeline. And that means he didn't have somebody that he had to keep down.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole keep down mentality, I believe, wasn't just about him trying to be mean to the kids. I think he started off going, oh my God, if I don't control Victor, if I don't keep this person down and keep them powerless, they'll destroy the world. And I think that bled out to all the children where he didn't have a victor with the alternate timeline. Mm-hmm. So therefore, he didn't have that keep the kid powerless. So I don't think it's so much he was trying to do that as a mean guy. I think it was the Victor effect.
And it was fear. It was fear. Like, it was really a fear thing. Yeah,
The fear of Vanya and Vanya Victor being what they were going to be.
Straight up,
Yeah, and I think that bled out to why that whole... And he knew that. He knew he failed when he met Five. He could at least... He knew then in season two, okay, I effed up. Whatever I did to you people... That's not going to work for my master plan, which is why he decided, mm-hmm. which is really interesting that he went and got everybody. He didn't get any of those kids except Ben,
but he didn't know about Ben.
That he didn't know about Ben, so he took Ben.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was like, I am not going to make that mistake. I'm going to take any of these kids, not realizing that Ben was one of them. Yeah.
And the thing is, with I Heard a Rumor, we've learned it's a liability in the first season when Victor slices her throat or slits her throat with the... Mm-hmm. The violin bow or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So when she says, I heard a rumor, her dad, like anybody could shut it down, cover their ears. That is the condition.
And we did have a little bit, if I'm not mistaken, we did have a little preview that you don't need that power to say it. Because the mimic girl was the one that finished her sentence. I can't remember her name. Diego's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And I keep saying Sloane, but that's not Sloane.
I can't remember her name. I'm sorry.
Not Katie.
But that woman, because if you remember the first time that Rumor tried to rumor her, she mm-hmm. said, I heard a rumor, and she said, blah, blah, blah.
Lila.
Lila finished the sentence and rumored Rumor without mm-hmm. having to say, I heard a rumor herself.
Mm-hmm.
So you saw that.
Interesting.
And she knows how to mimic powers, so she's like, I don't need to say I heard a rumor. I'm going to finish it for you.
Right.
Yeah.
So that kind of a thing, like once, so obviously Victor's childhood habit of nanny manslaughter would be a good motivation to keep those powers down.
Yeah.
Allison's powers, purely auditory, hearing, I heard a rumor, would certainly give him time to activate some sort of earplugs or whatever to keep this child conditioned, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, anything from, you know, worrying about them rumoring you to death over candy or some crap.
Yeah.
And it is interesting that it, Hargreaves, and in his death, was the only time he could actually tell the kids, you're not really living up to your full attention. Only because he's dead, maybe he realized, hey, now I can really
worry about it anymore.
Yeah, I can help you out, brother. Yep.
And eventually, the original Ben died, five disappeared, Victor was depowered, and then there were four left. You need seven for the platform, so there was never incentive to get her over that conditioning at that point. There was no point.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, he blew it. And, you know, it's like interesting that, you know, why did he kill him? Do we really even know? I'm continually binge watching, so I will see maybe at the end of episode, I should say season one. Why did he take his own life or have his life taken in season one? Was he just done because he couldn't do his master plan because he screwed up? You know, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. This is because, I mean, again, we're talking about the fan theories here. They all have a different number as well as names. And I always assume that the number order was like, who's like number one in charge? Who's like co-captain, basically, right?
Oh, I figured it was because of the ones they found.
Oh, like in
found,
order?
Yeah, like he found number one first.
That's what I always thought.
Yeah, well, and then it just turns out number one just is going to be the leader because it was the first one found.
Well, like, I always just assume it's like, hey, I'm number one. Like, they made such a big deal of it in the first season, like at least with Luther and Diego.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But even in this last season, we saw that with Ben and his family, like, no, I'm number one now. Like, I'm going to be number one. So it's kind of a status thing, too.
I don't think Ben was number two.
Yeah,
I don't think he was number two. You know, now I have to go back and watch how they were all original
timeline Ben or new Ben?
New Ben. Like, I want to see how they were introduced.
Oh,
because you'd think
it would
fall to the next person in line after their number one died. And yet, it didn't happen.
They alluded when they were fighting with him. Like, the sister was like, hey, you were number one.
He was number one for a little bit, yeah.
And he got pushed back.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So maybe it isn't just chronological as far as when they were found.
But I thought, you know, maybe it has to do with leadership. But it's this fan theory thinks that the number order is based on the level of difficulties Hargreaves would have harnessing their powers.
Oh.
So it's like, I believe the kid's number order is based on the level of difficulty Hargreaves himself would have harnessing each of their individual unique skills or powers. He harnessed their power by studying them, cracking the code of their own individual optimal method of utilization of their powers, and then fully training them based on what he learned. So, number one, Luther, super strength, durability. Pretty easy to understand, predict, and control. Two, Diego can curve anything he throws, a little bit more abstract.
Oh, so ascends and makes it harder.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Yeah, the higher the number.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, that would, and it would be just like his own numbering system for himself.
Right,
yeah.
Like, I mean, it's more abstract than Luther's, but still pretty simple. Allison, verbal control, definitely complicated in terms of emotional manipulation, but the A to B of her skill power is pretty straightforward, so Hargreaves would not have to do a ton of research or observation to crack that code, especially if the other fan theory is correct with the I heard a rumor line. Klaus, conjuring the deceased, extremely metaphysically complicated. However, the actual impact on the physical reality they exist in is minimal.
Yeah,
plus, you know,
started that way, yeah.
Yeah, five time and space travel. Yes, complicated and hard to teach and control, but Hargreaves seems to be from some sort of advanced civilization that has a much better grasp on physics than we do here on Earth right now. So it makes sense that he's still pretty comfortable with directing, guiding, and teaching five until, you know, he disappeared.
I would just see that, though, because six would be Ben. And Ben was just the tentacle chest.
His abdomen opens a portal to another dimension in which beasts reside.
I guess it's a whole other dimension sort of thing. So that vibes then.
So this is complicated for a couple of reasons. Emotionally, how do you teach a demure, innately sweet kid to embrace the fact that violent, otherworldly tentacles are an inherent part of his own existence? Physically, the relationship between Ben's physical body and his ability to host and control these beasts is probably complicated and volatile. And metaphysically, Hargreaves may be a genius from another planet, but it can't be easy for him to fully understand what this other dimension Ben has access to is all about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, Victor, just coming down to the core of their being, personality, spirit, all that stuff.
And that destructive nature of Victor's power is just kind of crazy on that.
Yeah, buddy.
Not being able to control. And he's like, yeah, I know.
And, you know, blowing up the moon and, you know, destroying the,
Sorry about that.
The universe three different times, or at least blew up the planet twice. So, problems, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But
if you guys have any fan theories, let me know. I love fan theories so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll post this whole list. There's a few more on here, so let me know. And until next time, stay nerdy.